Oops. Sorry. I'm up here a few minutes late. Welcome, everybody. Welcome this morning to Crestview Baptist Church. We're so glad you came out to join us today in worship. We're so glad if you're online watching, we're glad to have you tune in to watch with us, to watch and worship with us. We're just excited. I'm excited, especially to be here on Lord's Day. And I just have a few announcements to get us started. We got a few things coming up on the 29th. We're going to do the Hanging of the Greens on that Sunday, which is really fun when we put up all of our Christmas stuff in the sanctuary and we get it looking like the get the Christmas spirit going. But I'll be honest with you, I was at school this week, and in one classroom, we were already decorating for Christmas. So you know what? I'm good with that. But and also on that Sunday is going to be our shoebox dedication on that very same Sunday. So if you've got shoeboxes, have them here that week, and we will dedicate them. That's a good time and a good day to do that all together. So for Hanging of the Greens, the Friday after Thanksgiving, I do not have an exact time yet, but next week I will know an exact time. But I'm going to give you a date that we're going to need as many people as we can to come help put the luminaries out. That's takes some time. It takes some hands to get in there, and the more hands you got, the less time it takes. So keep that date. A lot of people are off that day, so hopefully we can, and it'll be a fun time to get together too. Saturday, December the 5th, I'm going to take the youth to assist New Prospect Baptist Church. A young lady there is doing a mission project, and they're packing 50,000 meals that day for Servants with a Heart. And so they're looking for people they're looking for youth groups around the county to come and assist. And we're gonna sign up to go from 10 o'clock to 12:15 that day to help them pack those meals. So if you're interested in that, if your youth are interested in that, let me know. The only other announcements that I think I have this week is just remember Bible study, 6:30 Wednesday night, youth and children, we're here. It's a good time to get together and fellowship, and look, we'd love to have you come out. Guys, let's focus our hearts on God.
Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Just you probably already know that Governor Cooper issued another executive order that took effect this past Friday, reducing the number of people for inside gatherings from 25 down to 10. That does not affect church services at all. So we can continue to gather, but what we do need to do is we need to be aware and we need to be safe. This virus, all I know is that people are dying of it. People that we know are getting sick, so we need to be smart. We may not agree with the way it's being handled. We may not agree with the severity of it. But the fact still remains that we have a responsibility to each other. And having said that, I want us to pray. I'm asking you to join me in prayer for a friend from high school. I played football with him. He was a few years younger than I was. But right now, he is in intensive care with COVID. He is hooked up to machines. He is unconscious. And he's by himself because his family is not allowed to be with him. So I'm asking you to join me in prayer to pray for Jimmy Bishop. I call him Jimmy because that's what he went by when I knew him. But his name, Jim Bishop, he was a pastor. But he is in the hospital in ICU right now. So if you would join me in prayer with him. And then also continue to pray for those that are dealing with the effects of this disease. Pray for our those that are in healthcare work. Pray for those that are in front line, you know, dealing with people. We found out earlier that there is at least one police officer in Shelby that has tested positive. Just from being in contact with people. And when one person tests positive, it affects many people. So be in prayer for our teachers as they are dealing with this, and children, because I am sure my children are no different than any other child that is going through this right now. They're having a hard time with it. Ginger and I, as parents, are having a difficult time with it, trying to make sure that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing and enforcing that they do their work and making them face the consequences when they don't and their grades come back that are low. It's not the teacher's fault. The teachers are doing everything they can do. But they're the ones getting yelled at and fussed at. Just like our police, just like our doctors, just like everybody else that's dealing with this. And then join with me as we pray for our country. Because we desperately need it. And pray for our church. Because as we continue to seek to do God's will, we are going to face scrutiny. We're going to face opposition. But as God says, when Paul writes, if God is for us, who can be against us? That we have the courage to stand on God's word 100%. So thank you for being here this morning. And now please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come to you, lifting your name on high. Dear Lord, I thank you for those that are joining us today here in person and also online. And I ask, dear Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around us. That you protect us as we are worshiping you, as we seek to do your will. Dear Lord, I ask that you be with those that are front line, the police officers, the healthcare workers, the EMTs, all of them. Dear Lord, just protect them. Keep them safe. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with the other churches that are gathering today. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for being a part of a group of pastors in our area that are facing the same tribulations right now. They're facing the same difficulties. And dear Lord, as we adjust how we conduct ourselves as we gather, dear Lord, I just ask that you remind us that this building is not the church. It is just brick and wood and cement. That, dear Lord, you did not die for this building, but you died for us. And we are the church. We are your bride. Dear Lord, that we don't have to have walls to be the church. But, dear Lord, it is so nice and so great to be able to get together, to fellowship, to love, to worship together. And dear Lord, I ask you right now that you be with those that are hurting. We have many within our congregation, dear Lord, that are still dealing with the loss of a loved one. Dear Lord, I just ask you to continue to fill them with your presence. We have some that are dealing with losses because of this virus. loss of job, loss of hours, of income, and even loss of family members. Lord, I lift them up to you. To Lord, I ask you to be with Jim Bishop and his family right now, that you strengthen his body, you allow him to fight this virus. Dear Lord, that you would encourage his family, that they would feel your presence and your power. And I thank you so much, dear Lord, for their faith in you and the fact that they know that you are the ultimate physician. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with our country right now. It seems more divided now than it's ever been. But dear Lord, you are the one that can heal brokenness. You are the one that can make whole divisions. And dear Lord, I ask you that you allow us as those called by your name, that we will begin to act like it. That we will not be the source of more division, dear Lord, but we will be the source of healing. You actually say that we will be the light in darkness. And dear Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit shines through us, that we may be a light in darkness. And dear Lord, I ask you to be with our church. Dear Lord, I ask you to just work in our church. Work in each and every one of our lives. And dear Lord, we just give you the honor and praise for it all. Dear Lord, as we gather to worship today and as we begin to sing your praises, that your Spirit move among your people, that lives will be changed. And dear Lord, and we will feel your presence in this house today. And we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Okay, you just sit there for a second. I've got to introduce you to a visitor that we have that's going to be leading our singing this morning. Many of you may know her. She is our very own Energizer Bunny. With a little bit of a drained battery right now, but she's still Sandra. And it is so good to have her back with us. So Sandra, if you'd please come and lead us in singing.
I've missed you guys. I know I'm back a little early. I just didn't want to stay away anymore. And I even felt like a stranger coming in until y'all greeted me with open arms and love. God blessed me with you. I want to thank you all for your prayers during this time. We're not out of the woods yet, but buddy, we're coming. We're chopping that wood down. So continue to pray for Stephen and Debbie. They will be quarantined now for 3 more months. He will have to go back and forth to the hospital each day. And if his blood count starts dropping, I will have to go back and give again. And with your prayers, I'll do that. But church, I love you. I love you so much, and I do thank you for being the church that you are. And I already said everything that I wanted to say before we sing this song, and his prayer was exactly what we needed. Because during this time, there's absolutely nothing that we can count on except for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So would you stand as we sing page 406, verses 1 and 2, The Solid Rock.
You get the floor. built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On cross the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gate, my anchor rolls within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. Good morning, kids. If you've got kids at home watching, bring them in. I want to talk a few minutes. And last week, I promoted division as we talked about turkeys and hams on Thanksgiving. Well, I'm going to say something controversial this week that for the kids that, you know what, it's 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks out from Thanksgiving, but I'm going to say it anyway. Merry Christmas. Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about today, that it being Christmas, it's never too early to be Merry Christmas, to say Merry Christmas. If it was, Isaiah wouldn't have told us about it hundreds and hundreds of years before he came. So Isaiah saying it's 600 or 700 years before Jesus came gives me I can say it 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, I can say Merry Christmas. And kids, I want to share with you that verse, and adults too. It says, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So, and we talked about how nothing is certain but Jesus. But going into this time of the year, and every day of every year, we can celebrate that our God sent His only Son to live, be born like us, to die and live again, so we could be forgiven for our sins. So as I grow in my spirituality, in my faith, I appreciate Christmas time more and more. So as we move in through November, into December, I want it to be an extra special time and focus on Jesus. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for loving us enough to send your only Son, Jesus, to live on this earth and suffer and die and then rise again so we could be forgiven. Lord, we thank you for this time of the year when we get to spend it with our family and we get to enjoy all the wonderful things that come with Thanksgiving and Christmas. But help us to remember most of all to be thankful and to celebrate your Son. All this we ask in your name. Amen. And now if the kids will line up, Miss Laura's back there.
Let's stand again as we sing hymn number 546, verses 1 and 2 of Love Lifted Me. Would you stand, please? 546.
When nothing else could help, love. that help love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted even me.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work for those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise Him, praise the Lord. For God inhabits praise, praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you pray. You when you praise Him. when you praise the Lord.
I need to set the record straight. We went this week and got our supplies for Thanksgiving meal, and we have turkey and ham. So let you guys know that we do both. And I have shared with you before, we have a rule in my house. It's my rule that there is nothing, no Christmas music, no Christmas movies until Thanksgiving. But I am man enough to tell you that this year I broke my own rule. I watched a Christmas movie the other night and it was good. And those military men out there, I encourage you, it's called Operation Christmas Drop. And it was awesome. And it is actually based on a true story, but it was a very good movie. So thank you, Sharon, for that song. And thank you, Sandra, for the songs that you chose today. Because if you have not noticed over the last month or so, I've got a theme about what I've been preaching about, what I've been teaching about on Wednesday nights. And God is really hitting me hard with these things about what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. And last week I talked about those are strong words, that we need to be careful what we say as Christians. Because sometimes what we say, even in type form, doesn't match up to anything whatsoever that has to do with Christ. Now, have you ever heard the saying, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Anybody ever heard that? Well, we need to be careful as Christians and having that mentality, because we are being watched. And the world looks at us and holds us to a very different standard. And I'm going to be honest, I have seen some very intolerant people on both sides of issues. But some of the most intolerant people are some of the ones that are pushing tolerance. Because they don't apply the same to everybody. But we are just as guilty as that. Because we don't apply the same standards. And we have to be very careful. Because we are being watched and they're watching us. What's some of the biggest news that you see? Is when somebody within the last little bit, it's been the stuff with Jerry Falwell Jr. You know, and he had to step down as president of Liberty University and all of that. Because the same standards are not applied. We all make mistakes. Today, while we were having our prayer time, I admitted I make mistakes from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, and I even make mistakes in my dreams. I must be strange, because in my dream, you know, most people dream and they're perfect. They're like winning contests. I'm falling flat on my face in some of my dreams. I get in a fight in my dream and I go to swing and I just whirlwind and I just totally miss the guy I'm trying to hit. We all make mistakes. But I want you to understand some things. And I want to look at one verse as our key passage today. And it's Luke chapter 14, verse 1. So if you could turn there and stand, it'll be on your screen as well as on the screen for the live broadcast. And this is what Luke writes in chapter 14. In verse 1, it says, it happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. This is talking about Jesus. They were watching him closely. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, I ask you right now, dear Lord, that you break our hearts for what breaks yours. Thank you for what Luke records, the fact that they watched Jesus so closely. And dear Lord, as we open your word to look at this passage and see how it applies to us, that your spirit will move. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You are being watched. That last part of verse 1 of chapter 14 of Luke is what I want us to look at. They were watching him closely. They watched Jesus. Jesus was under a microscope. Everything that he did was being watched and scrutinized. And not just by one group. He was being watched by the religious leaders, because they wanted to find out what was so dynamic about Jesus. Why were people leaving them and going with him? They wanted to see what he was teaching that was so different. And they wanted to see if they could catch him in a trap. If they could see him take a misstep. He was being watched by the Romans. They were under Roman occupation. The Romans knew who he was. They watched him. And in fact, there are several recorded cases where Roman soldiers and even the centurion, he knew about Jesus and he went and got Jesus to come to heal his son. They knew him. Even at the foot of the cross, one of the Roman soldiers looked up and said, "Surely this must be the Son of God." They knew who he was and they were watching him. He was watched by the Jews. Not the religious leaders, but the everyday Jew was watching him. They were the ones following him to see the miraculous works. They were watching everything that he said, and he was being watched by his disciples. The ones that he called to follow him, he was being watched. He wasn't being watched to catch him in a trap or see him make a mistake. He was being watched because they were mimicking and learning from watching what he did and how he did. But he was being watched. Everywhere he turned, somebody was watching him. You guys remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed upon a sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, said, "Zacchaeus, you come down because I'm going to your house today." You guys remember that song from when we were little? My kids and Jonathan is looking at me like, "What?" Okay, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus so bad, he climbed up in a tree so he could watch him. Well, guess what, guys? They are going to watch his disciples also. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, "You are the light of the world." And he's talking to his disciples, those that follow him. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in his house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We, as God's disciples, as Jesus' disciples, those who go by his name and follow him, we will be watched. And God intended for us to be watched. people all the time. And one of the hardest things that home missionaries have to deal with going in different parts of our country is that people consider religion as a private matter, and it's nobody else's business. Well, that's fine for religion, but Christianity is not a religion. I'm going to tell you that right now. Christianity is a relationship with the one and only risen Savior that totally changes your life. And yes, it has to be done on a personal matter. I cannot accept Christ as your Savior for you. Each and every one of us has to get to a point in our life where we recognize the fact that we are sinners. We recognize the fact that God loved us so much that He sent Christ to die on the cross for us. And we have to recognize the fact that we need Jesus in our lives to save us from the death that we deserve. That is a personal thing. But it is a personal matter that is lived out in a totally public forum. Because when you meet Jesus Christ face to face, and you meet Him one on one in that personal matter, He comes into your life and He changes everything about you. The moment I accepted Jesus Christ, my world got turned upside down. I went and apologized to my ex-girlfriend. And when I knocked on that door, she opened that door and gave me a look that most people would turn around and run from because of the hatred in her eyes that burned toward me. And I apologized to her for the way I acted and the things that I had done and the things that I had said. And her facial expression changed, and she said, "Wow, I was not expecting that." And I said, "Well, I meant it." I said, "Because I've met Jesus and I had to make it right. Because that's not who I am anymore." Then I went and told my friend. And he asked me to go to a bar where the waitresses wore little bitty skimpy outfits. And I looked at him. I said, "Didn't you hear what I just said?" I said, "That's not me anymore." I said, "I am different. And I won't be going with you." It's a very public relationship. And we are called to be the lights of this world. That everything that we say, everything that we do, should be reflecting Christ. And He even tells us why. So that everybody can see our good works and glorify us? No. Glorify God the Father. That is our purpose, is to draw people to Him through our actions, through our speech. But so many times, we don't do that. When I was a youth pastor, we were talking about if somebody had an issue with something that we did, if I did something and somebody else said, and you can imagine what the responses from the youth were, the teenagers. "Well, that's just their problem." And I said, "Nope, that's not scriptural. Bible says that if we do something that causes somebody else to stumble, we're at fault. That it's not just their problem, it's our problem." And I tried to explain that, and I even asked, I said, "How do you guys feel about drinking alcohol?" And at the time I told him, I said, "I hope none of you do it, but how do you feel about that?" And they all gave me the thing, "Well, it's okay if you do it in moderation. It's okay for social occasions. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that." I said, "Okay. What if Ginger and I were at a restaurant and you came walking in and you saw me with a glass of wine? According to what you guys said, that's okay. Oh, no, it's not. Why not? Because we would have thought everything that you told us was a lie. I'm like, but you just said that it was okay. Well, not for you. Why not? And they couldn't get past that. And church, what I'm trying to tell you is this, is that we have to be careful what we do. All of us, not just the preacher, not just the music minister, all of us, if we go by the name of Christian, we have to be careful what we do because we're being watched. Everything that we do is supposed to reflect Jesus Christ. And sadly, that is not the case in our world today. Many people have this idea of the freedom that we have in Christ, where we can do everything and anything, and there is no difference between us and them. Well, church, I'm telling you, there is a difference. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And in Corinthians, Paul says that we are ambassadors of Christ. That means that we represent Him. And when people see us, that may be the only picture of Jesus they get. You ever heard the saying, it's actually a song, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day? There is nothing more true than that. Because what we say, and it may be the right thing, but what we say can totally be demolished by what we do. And right now, we're being watched. People want to, when they watch us, they want the answers to two questions. The first question they want answered when they're watching us is, do we have something that they don't? 1 Peter 2:12 says this, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. That we need to be able to watch what we do so that when somebody says something against us, it won't hold water. And then 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. They want to know if there's something different about us. They want to know, is it real? And our actions tells them if it's real or not. Do we really believe everything that we're saying? And when they notice that there's a difference, they want to go even deeper in finding out what is different about you. What they're really asking is, can Jesus make the same difference in my life as He's making in yours? That's what they want to know. The second question that they want answered is, do you practice what you preach? Yet last week I showed you that slide that Doyne shared with me on Facebook, that so many people run around with scripture in their mouth but hate in their heart. The two don't add up. And they're wanting to see if we practice what we preach. They're watching us to see that if what we say and how we live match up. James 2:18. Preached last week out of James about our tongue, about our words. Now look what James says in chapter 2, verse 18. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by what my works. Basically, what he's saying is you can tell me what you believe all the time, as much as you want to, but unless what you say believes affects what you do, your faith is worthless. And then he goes on to say, he says, you tell me what you believe, I'll show you what I believe by what I do. And in that same passage, he says, faith without works is dead. Church, more so now than ever, we have got to get to a point where Christians stop talking the truth and start living the truth. Our actions are being watched. Now, so that more than ever, and we're going to get to a point where people are going to watch us so they can turn us in for breaking the law, for doing what people have said are illegal. I'm sad to say, but that's coming in our country. Right now in different states, it's illegal. It goes against local mandates for churches to meet, churches to sing. Thank goodness a judge said that it couldn't happen here in North Carolina. But they tried. Now granted, there comes a time you've got to use common sense. But I'm going to tell you this, church. It's time that Christians stop bellyaching about what is going wrong in our society and start doing something, start living in a way that makes people want to change it from the anyway. No, it's a big thing right now. And I'll admit, people are leaving Facebook and going to Parler or WeMe or one of the other sites. And I do have a Parler account. And I look at it. I haven't posted anything in it, but I do look at it. But I have a hard time rectifying something in my own mind. If I pull out, and go with like-minded people, how am I being a light to those that I leave? How can I be in the world but not of the world? How is my faith growing by removing myself where I'm being challenged everywhere I turn? Yes, I get angry. I shared this. I get angry with some of the things I read. I get angry with some of the things that some of the names that I see people calling. But that goes for both sides of issues. It's not an us versus them. It never was an us versus them. I have people, even within my own family, that I don't agree with their choices. But I still love them dearly. We are not in battle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We are in a spiritual warfare. But if we have on the full armor of God, we are protected from anything that is thrown at us. But do they see us living that way? You know what? Statistics tells us that very few people accept Christ as their Savior because of a sermon that is preached by a pastor on a Sunday morning. Very few people are affected for Christ from a pulpit. It does happen. But the majority of people that accept Christ as their Savior is because somebody sitting in the pew lived it in front of them. It's not that they went and knocked on a door that of somebody they didn't know and shared Christ with them. It does happen. But it's somebody that they knew took time to live what they were preaching. And it wasn't the words they say, but it's what they saw them do that got them to the point where they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that what they were being told was true. And they wanted, the question got answered. What's different? Well, there was a big difference. What do you have that I don't have? They have Jesus Christ. I don't. And they watched to see if what is being preached was being lived. Do you walk the talk? And because they walked the talk, their lives were changed forever because they were introduced to Jesus Christ. Church, it's time to realize that we are being watched. It is time to realize that what we do matters. Coming and sitting in a pew on Sunday morning and then doing whatever the rest of the week, it's not good enough. People want to see the difference that is made by Jesus Christ. And it's time for us as His church to start living it in front of them. It's not going to be all peaches and cream and cupcakes and sprinkles and rainbows. That's not life. Let's face it, that's not life. Mark Lowry says that life is a series of ups and downs. And what does Jesus say? He says, I come to give life, but life more abundantly. So you have more ups and downs. The difference is with Christ is you've always been buckled in. And He's going to go where you go. And He's going to go through those ups and downs with you, never leaving you nor forsaking you. He's going to meet you in that fiery furnace just like He meets you on the mountaintop. He's going to be there with you in the valleys. He's going to be there walking across the water. And in some cases, just like the poem Footprints in the Sand, there's going to come times that we, in our own power, can't do it. But that's when He's going to pick you up and carry you. And we're going to lean on those everlasting arms. Church, this is your time right now to follow His leading. Listen to what He's telling you. If you need to come and pray at the altar, you can. If you need to come talk to me, you can. If you want to become a member of this church, come talk to me. We'll talk about it. If you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, definitely come talk to me. We will take care of that right now. I would love to be able to introduce you to Jesus Christ. But this is your time right now.
Sing our hymn of invitation, number 571, Let Others See Jesus in You, 571.
In you, let others.
We do have a short business meeting immediately following. It's our regular business meeting for the month. But I'm going to ask if Sandra would mind to pray and dismiss us from service. And then I'm going to ask David to come and open up our business session for us. So, Sandra.
Oh, dear gracious Heavenly Father, what an honor it is just to gather in your house to come and worship you. But Lord, I pray that as Artie has preached today, that we are all the light on the hill, that others do see you through us, through our deeds, through our words, our acts of should be kindness. So Lord, I just pray that our desire is to be more like you, not just Sunday morning, but every day throughout this week. So be with us, lead us and guide us in all that we think, do and say. For it is your holy name that we pray. Amen.